Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. The international break is over, which means we can jump straight back into domestic action. And to guide us through all of the games, I'm joined with Aaron Ashley and Aidan Perkins of The Racing Post Sport Desk. And from our sponsors, Paddy Power, Jason Murphy returns. Today marks the start of Safer Gambling Week, which runs from the 19th to the 25th of November. Please visit safergamblinguk.org for more information. And if you are having a bet this weekend, please do remember to gamble responsibly. Jason, great to have you back on the show, my friend. Let's jump straight into the action. Newcastle United versus Chelsea is the first game up this week. It's the early kickoff on Saturday. And how are Paddy Power pricing this?
Yeah, thanks for having us back, Jack. We're going with 11-2 Newcastle, the draw 10-3, and Chelsea 4-9.
Straight off the bat, that sounds quite a long price for Newcastle here.
Yeah, I'd be reluctant myself. I think the prices are just about right for a couple of reasons. Like, Chelsea are unbeaten in 11 competitive games. They've scored 20 Premier League goals already this season. They've scored three or more in five of their last six games. Frank has them humming going forward. And since Mendy has come into the goal, they've been a lot more solid defensively. Now, there's one stat out there that says, you know, Chelsea have only one win in seven visits to Newcastle, lose them five of those seven. And when you hear stats like that, they're interesting in terms of narrative. They're nice to read in the paper. But when it comes to betting, how much weight you give to those seven visits, really, I just give a bit of weight to the visit of last season where they absolutely dominated Newcastle for 90 minutes and lost to an injury time goal. So for me, if I was looking for a bet this weekend, it is the early kickoff. We do be reluctant about it, but I think Chelsea at 4-9 is a fine price for an ACA builder. And if you're looking in the goal scorer market, Timo Werner, five goals in his last four games. He was scoring on international duty for Germany, although he did play in that horrific game against Spain. But he only played 75 minutes in the two games against Ukraine and Spain. So he should be a bit fresher than most, and I'd expect him to start this game. There's 10-3 out there for first goal scorer, and we know he's on penalties now as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jason, because, you know, we often see these stats where, as you mentioned, one win in 10 at St. James's Park, just for an example. Is there ever an occasion when you do look into that data at all if you're looking for a bet?
Yeah, again, like, I know myself as a United fan, we always seem to have a terrible record when we went to Stamford Bridge. But if United were to play Chelsea tomorrow, you know, what happened under Ferguson all those years ago? How relevant is it to those two 11s that are going out to play, say, next week? And like I said, I give very little weight to it. Last season, absolutely, particularly if a lot of the 11s are the same, the managers are the same, you can get a really good gauge. It's almost like if you're watching someone having a putt on the green and you have a similar shot to them, you can use that to line up your putt, how you price this match. But anything more than, you know, 12 months, 2 years ago, it's really hard, like, to give any weight to what the figures be, no matter how big or bad they might sound.
Yeah, wise advice for any punters listening this week. Aidan, great to have you on the show once again, mate. What's your outlook for this game?
Yeah, cheers, Jack. I think, like Jason, it'll be a Chelsea victory. Chelsea have been very, very good of late. Five clean sheets in the last six. And as Jason was saying, the goalkeeper, Edward Mendy, he seems to have made a really big difference, much better than Kepa. The other one, obviously, is Thiago Silva as well, who's coming at the back. And I don't think everyone expected him necessarily to be playing as regular as he is at 36. But he's obviously really shored up the Chelsea defence. From Newcastle's point of view, they're very inconsistent and unpredictable, although they have won at home recently against Everton and Burnley. So to me, even though Chelsea have kept all these clean sheets, that run, I don't think, can be sustained in terms of clean sheets week after week. I think Chelsea will win, but I've got a feeling that run of clean sheets will end, especially after the international break. I think Newcastle will score, but Chelsea, both teams to score, I think you can get around 2-1 on that. And to me, that would appeal in terms of a bet in this match.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Aaron, we've had both of our panellists go for Chelsea wins so far. Are you going to be the same?
Yes, mate. It's definitely a clean sweep. I agree with Aidan a little bit. I can see Newcastle scoring. They definitely carry a greater attacking threat with Callum Wilson and Sam Maximin. But I think I'd take the 11-10 about Chelsea to win in a match featuring at least three goals. So you've kind of got both ways there. Chelsea have scored 20 goals in 8 games. They failed to score against United and Liverpool, but they've netted at least 3 times in their other 6 fixtures, which has included away trips to Brighton, West Brom and Burnley. Newcastle do tend to adopt a defensive approach, but that tends to be on their travels. That hasn't been the case at St James's Park. Their 4 home league games this season have featured 15 goals, which is an average of 3.75 per outing. So Chelsea, they're getting stronger with every outing. A heavy summer of investment. It told early, but they're unbeaten in 6 now and scoring at will. So that would be the way I'd go.
Lots of love for Chelsea in the opening game there. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Aston Villa taking on Brighton and Hove Albion. Jason, this is a fascinating one because I feel like, you know, every time you're on, and to be honest, in most of these podcasts, we're talking about Brighton nearly being there. They look good, you know, on the ball, but it's not quite clicking. And we talk about Fulham, and I know they're not playing this game, but Fulham are only 2 points behind Brighton in the Premier League table. And we're always talking about Fulham being a certainty to go down. I know some bookmakers have paid out on them already in terms of the relegation market. But Brighton are in a bit of danger here, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really interesting, really fascinating. Again, this is why they went away from Chris Hughton and went to Potter. And again, the process is good. Trust the process, create the opportunities, and eventually you'll take enough of them. But that's the problem, just not taking enough of them yet. Winless in 6. And, you know, if you look at them since they got promoted to the Premier League, they've had 12 nil-nil draws. That's the most of any team since they got promoted in 2017. They're just not finishing the chances. They are creating them. If you look at their goals per game this season, it's 1.17 goals per game. If you look at the last 5 seasons of Premier League data, a team that's only scoring that per game tends to finish about 16th or 17th in the table. So yeah, they need to start finishing the chances. Defensively, very good, very solid. And they have actually scored in their 4 away games this season. So, you know, on the road, they have been scoring. Whereas Aston Villa, very good start to the season, really good result against Arsenal last time out, but have lost their 2 games at Villa Park already this season. But the result against Southampton, you know, there was a Danny Ings wonder goal from outside the box. There was a couple of free kicks from Ward-Prowse. So I don't think it was necessarily the 4-0 hammering that I looked at when they were 4 goals down and they came back into the game later on. In terms of the match prices, it's Aston Villa 11-10, the draw 5-2, and Brighton 21-10. The prices look really bang on here for me, and I don't have a match bet, but what I will give you is one anti-post bet. That's Ollie Watkins in the top goal scorer market. When you're looking for a top goal scorer bet, you want someone who's first choice for their team. He's going to play most of their games, doesn't get injured. He actually played 49 championship games last season, including the playoffs. And also on penalties. He took a meaningless one against Southampton, but it looks like he will be penalty taker for Aston Villa. He's 28-1 in places to win it, but they're paying a quarter of the odds. So you're getting 7-1 on Watkins to place. He's already got 5 goals this season. And when we're talking about safer gambling, you only want to back for entertainment purposes, for a bit of fun, maybe to make a bit of money. But what I'm saying here is if you back Watkins as a top goal scorer, whether it's a 5 or a 10 or whatever it is, that's entertainment you have on all Aston Villa games between now and the end of the season. And I think it'd be a really good bet to watch. So Ollie Watkins at 28-1, back in, I think, is worth a look. But the match prices for this game look about right.
Yeah, it's always intriguing, isn't it, with them, the players that are coming up from the Championship. Big money spent on Ollie Watkins as well. And he's taken to the Premier League really well. Aidan, what's your opinion on this one?
I mean, I might be mad here, but I have a sneaky feeling for Brighton in this game. And the reasons are that this is the most unpredictable of seasons. As Jason touched on there, Villa have actually lost their last 2 at home. I know they had a really good win at Arsenal before the international break. And don't get me wrong, Villa have been very good largely this season, made some really good signings. Martinez, a goalkeeper, Barkley, Grealish, we know he's playing really well. I just think I've watched a bit of Brighton earlier in the season, and you were talking about it. They haven't quite got what they deserved in quite a few games. If you remember early in the season, they lost to Man United at home when they should have won the match. They played really well against Crystal Palace and got a draw late on. I think they're also quite good against Chelsea earlier in the season. I know they haven't got the results and they're not scoring enough goals. I've just got a really sneaky feeling that Brighton are going to pull out one of the strange results of the season, and win at Aston Villa, or at least not get beat. I could be mad, but I just fancy Brighton this weekend.
No, you're not mad at all. Aaron, I always dislike going against Brighton because although, you know, they're struggling somewhat in the Premier League this season, they have got a really solid performance in them. Where are you going here?
I'm edging towards an Aston Villa win here, Jack. I mean, Brighton, look, they continue to earn their plaudits for their performances. But the truth is, they have little to show for all that positivity. They've won only one of their opening eight games. And it was a familiar tale for Graham Potter and his side in the goalless draw against Burnley before the international break. They bossed the game. They had 19 shots on goal. But again, they lack that killer instinct. They're very, very dependent on Neil Morpay. And Trossard and Connolly are both out, which takes away a bit of their creativity. And I think those problems are going to come to light again against Aston Villa, who are much improved. They've won five of their opening seven games, tighter defensively with four clean sheets in seven, and they now carry a greater threat with Watkins and Barkley complementing Jack Grealish. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Villa at 11-10, mate.
Yeah, exciting times for Aston Villa, that's for sure. Really, really promising attacking line there. Saturday's games are absolutely brilliant, aren't they? 5:30 sees Tottenham take on Manchester City, this one on Sky Sports main event. Jason, I feel like I'm a broken record on these podcasts. I always come on here and I still can't get my head around Manchester City's price in terms of the outright markets in the Premier League. But they take on a Spurs side here, and I think this will be a really good test to see where they're at, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the one to watch this weekend for me. Tottenham, first of all, punters are really backing them. The early money, the bets and the stakes have come from Spurs. They've shortened from 16-5 into 11-4 since opening. It's 11-4 to draw. Man City now 4-5 to win in 90 minutes. It's massive for the title race. Spurs at one stage were 125-1. They've been backed into 9-1 now for the wow. title. And if you look at the injury time goals, they conceded a Lanzini wonder goal against West Ham and a penalty for Newcastle that never should have been. You know, Spurs will actually be 3 points clear at the top of the table now. Really, really humming under Mourinho. And it's a massive game because if City lose, they'll still have a game in hand, but they'll be 8 points behind Spurs. And you don't want to be chasing a Mourinho team in a title race. Now, I kind of touched on it earlier, as in what can you use as a reference point? And for me, the two games against Spurs last season are really good reference points. Spurs actually took 4 points from the two games. But if you look at the shots, the stats, right? Man City had 30 shots across the two games, 15 shots on target, and only scored two goals. Whereas Spurs across the two games only had 5 shots on target and got 4 goals out of them. So Man City last season dominated both games but didn't get the results. But like we're saying, talk about the process. If you dominate the games, eventually the results will come. And that's why I'd be siding with Man City for this game. And this is why you'll still side with Man City in the title race and you see those prices. If you're looking for a goal score bet, what I'll tip up is Ferran Torres. He's in the headlines now, hat-trick during the week against Germany. But just because he's 20 doesn't mean this lad hasn't got experience already. He's the youngest player ever to get 50 appearances for Valencia. He got 3 goals in the Champions League last season for Valencia, and he's got 3 goals already this season for Man City. Just hadn't scored in the Premier League yet, but with a doubt over Sterling, we know Aguero's out, Jesus is travelling back from South America after the international break, I'd fancy Torres to start, and at 10-1 for the first goal scorer, I think there's a bit of value there.
Stats galore from Jason Murphy, absolutely brilliant. Aidan, what do you make of this Manchester City side? Because I've really enjoyed the Manchester City against Liverpool game, but it feels as if the City performances I've watched this season, they've been brilliant in spells, but it was the sort of opening 25 minutes in that game against Liverpool where they just weren't clicking. And against this Spurs side, who are, as Jason mentioned, really starting to gather pace under Mourinho, they won't be able to do that, will they?
No, I don't know whether Pep this season has tried to change it a little bit. I mean, they're not scoring the goals that they've scored in the past 2 years. They've only got 10 in their first 7 games, City, and that's low for them. That really is low for them. Now, that they still have so much attacking talent, we know. They are missing Aguero's goals at the start of the season, but, you know, Sterling hasn't been on fire. He's been sort of a bit in and out. Jesus has been out injured and he's had to come back in. I don't think Kevin De Bruyne is quite playing at the level that he can play at as well. So I just wonder whether or not, because City got burnt last year in losing too many games to be in the title race, is Guardiola trying to adapt it a little bit and look to be a little bit more defensively solid rather than trying to outscore teams? They'll always score goals, City. I'm not saying that, but I just think that maybe there's been a little bit of a tweak from Guardiola, and maybe that's why we're seeing or have seen a few sort of dips from City at the start of the season. In terms of this game, it's a really tight one to call. I don't expect many goals as well after saying that. Under 2.5 goals, you can get it around 5-4. And I think that would be something that would tempt me. And I think it will be tight. I think Mourinho will really try and have a game plan. And he'd love to get one over Guardiola and prove that maybe Tottenham are the real deal this year.
Yeah, definitely. Aaron, a massive game and one that, as Jason said, could, you know, be the difference in terms of the title race this season. Which way do you see this one going?
Definitely, Jack. I can't be touching City odds on, I'm afraid. I'm going to have to go Spurs or draw a double chance at even money. City have actually won only nine of the last 18 Premier League away games. And last season, they were beaten at Liverpool, Tottenham, Manchester United and Chelsea. I mean, that road form is just not the former champions, and that needs to be improved on massively. The goals have been hard to come by without Aguero. They've only scored exactly once in each of the last five games. And with Sterling a doubt, that's another big blow. They've actually won only two of the last six games. They've dropped points on trips to Leeds and West Ham. And I can see Spurs in a tight game. I agree with Aidan. Goals might be hard to come by. So I can see Spurs avoiding defeat here in a Mourinho masterclass, maybe.
Yeah, that's going to be an absolutely delightful game to watch. Really looking forward to that one. 8 o'clock on Saturday. I'm sure Jason's looking forward to this one. Manchester United taking on West Bromwich Albion. West Brom in the relegation zone. Still no wins for them this season. Jason, any chance of the baggies getting underway here?
There's always a chance. They have won three of their last five visits to Old Trafford. But like I say... Yeah, how applicable is that to what's going to happen Saturday night? This is the question. I am a United fan and also an Irish fan, obviously, so I'm just looking forward to maybe a team I support actually scoring a few goals. Might be nice. But the prices for this game, we've Man United 2-7, the draw 9-2, and West Brom 9-1. The problem with West Brom is they're just conceding too many goals. 2.13 goals against already this season. If you look at the team that finishes bottom of the Premier League over the last five seasons, they normally let in about 1.8 goals per game. So West Brom are really defensively just not doing enough here. They're going to concede over 80 goals at this rate and they need to sort it out. Whereas if you look at Man United, I just can't. The 2-7, I'd be reluctant to get involved in that in the ACA. Just, you know, once bitten, twice shy. Haven't won at home yet this season. But their away record has been fantastic. And I don't get carried away as such with the narrative. The price that went off against Everton, the early price against Everton, you could get United at 6-4 and it corrected itself from kickoff. It was into about 5-4. So, you know, the United price swings have been moving. And where you see it most, obviously, is in the manager market. It's more of a swing than you see with Trump and Biden. Like the prices for Ollie, right? 33-1, next to be sacked at the start of the season. Then the hammering against Spurs, he's into 2-1. Good results against Leipzig, PSG, back out to 11-2. And then goes to Istanbul and he's into 4-6 after the defeat in Turkey. So he's currently a 7-4 after getting a result against Everton. He always seems to get a result when he needs one. And we always offer that market in play. So it's an interesting market to watch. If you know United are winning well, have a look. Billich could be really a bet there maybe. But if United are losing here, again, you'll see that Ollie price shorten. We manually trade it. So like, you know, it's fastest fingers first. If United are going to go down there, you could probably get Ollie there at 7-4 because another couple of bad results, it's hard to see him staying in the job. He needs to put a run together to get United up that table.
Definitely. Jason, just quickly touching on, you mentioned there about in terms of ACCAs, I know a lot of our listeners will be listening this to try and build a Premier League or an EFL ACCA this weekend. A lot of the tips that we put up are often singles. What are you looking for in a team to make them go into an ACCA?
Yeah, so what you want is you want a fair price, like, and football is all about opinions, and that's the great thing about it. Like, you know, everyone will have an opinion, and particularly if you want to talk to someone and know a club, talk to the fan of a club. Like, obviously, I keep ratings on all 20 teams, but almost like if you have a medical condition, the patient will know it better than the actual doctor. When it comes to clubs, talk to the fans. So if you fancy your team, do you fancy them at that price? And if you do, then put them in your ACCA, support your team. That's absolutely fine. You're going to be cheering them on and you get more enjoyment for the bet. That's great. So my example for the ACCA is on Saturday. I think Chelsea have 4-9. I think that's a fair price and I fancy Chelsea. I like the price and I trust my gut thinking Chelsea will win it. Whereas my gut says United should win against West Brom, but the head says that price is just too short. And if I have four or five legs already up on Saturday, I don't want to be waiting on a 2-7 shot just to bump that up a little bit. I'd rather have my winnings in the bag than back United at that price. That's just my own personal opinion. And that's what I said. That's why we love football. It's a game of opinions. And like I say, you can have a bit of fun for entertainment with it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Good advice for anyone looking to build an ACCA this weekend. Aidan, obviously Manchester United short in this one. Where's the value for you?
Yeah, I would be tempted to avoid, you know, backing United to win because surely they have to make Jason smile and finally get a home win. Lost 3 out of 4. I mean, it's such a dismal start at Old Trafford for United. Pretty unheard of, isn't it, really? I can't see anything other than a United winning this. Maybe to win 2-0, you could look at their markets. sometimes correct score markets, I know not everyone really particularly enjoys the correct score markets, you don't always get great odds, but something like 2-0 to Manchester United in this, 5-1 I think I've seen for that, that would be maybe where I'm looking. But I mean, I have to believe if you're looking at that, this game as a bet, that it will be a home win.
Yeah. Aaron, are you of a similar mindset, or do you think West Brom can spring an upset here?
I wouldn't be rushing to go in at 2-7, but I'd probably take a risk on United to win to nil at, say, 11-10. I mean, this is a big game for Solskjaer, isn't it? United haven't won a home league game in 4 tries, and the pressure will surely be at an all-time high if they fail to beat the Baggies, who are winless in 8. Although they are winless at Old Trafford, they have played Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal, and it's fair to say West Brom don't boast the same firepower as those. Slaven Bilic's side have failed to score in 5 of their 8 league games, and their 2 defeats against Fulham and Tottenham before the international break, they might have a goal. United have only kept 1 clean sheet in 7, but they haven't met a front line as tepid as these. So, yeah, Man United to win to nil.
Some absolutely brilliant action to get stuck into on Saturday. And there is on Sunday as well. We'll be previewing them in a moment.
New Year's Day 2021. And Paddy Power will be giving away £1 million to one lucky punter in the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase at Cheltenham. To enter, simply opt in and back the winner in this week's qualifier race, the 3:15 at Ascot on Saturday, to be in with a chance. 1-0 to 2021. To find out more, just open our website or app. Paddy Power. Minimum qualifying bet £5. Terms and conditions apply. Exclude shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post for part 2. Let's get stuck straight into Sunday's action then. The 12 o'clock kickoff, this one on BBC One and BBC iPlayer. So free to view, of course, if you're a licensed payer. Fulham versus Everton, Jason. Fulham, they've started the season poorly. That can't be overlooked. But the performances in recent weeks have shown some kind of promise, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely, Jack. That's exactly the opinion we'd have on them. Now, we did pay out them early doors in the season for them to be ready.
Regressing that now?
Well, no. We were happy to do it at the time. You know, okay, we've been proven wrong in hindsight. Fulham have had a bit of fight about them. If you look in their last 5 games, they've picked up 4 points. But the 3 games that they lost, they only lost by single goal margins. They lost to Wolves, lost to Palace, and then obviously the penalty against West Ham, they should have got a point. So what we've done, you know, we're always revising our ratings and our opinions, and we're actually best price, significantly best price, Fulham for relegation at the moment. We think the market is too short on them now. So if you fancy going in again, you can get Fulham at 4-9, be relegated. We're best price on it. For this game, we have Fulham 11-4, the draw 11-4, and Everton 5-6. Like I said, best price Fulham for relegation, but I do fancy Everton to get a result here for one reason only. That's Richarlison is back. They've lost their last 3 games, but Richarlison is absolutely massive to what they do and how well they start the season. If you look at the front 3 you have, it's Richarlison, it's Calvert-Lewin, and it's James Rodriguez, and the 3 of them were humming and working perfectly together. Slightly different players on what to do, but what Richarlison does in particular is he'll stretch defences, which gives the space for Calvert-Lewin and it gives the space for James Rodriguez to do what they do. And it's massive that they get it back. Because if you look at the games that they've lost, Carlo Ancelotti, you know, in one game against Newcastle there, he tried Andrea Gomez and Sigurdsson kind of in the front 3 and it just didn't work. Those are players that need to be behind the ball or rather than ahead of the ball. So Richarlison, I think, will make a massive difference coming back into this Everton team. And it's not my strongest bet of the weekend, but if I was to pick someone in the win at those prices, I'd go with Everton at 5-6.
Jason, do you know, with Richarlison, I was just going to say, this is a stat I got from the Liverpool Echo in the week. Everton have yet to win a league game without Richarlison in the squad since he joined them in 2018. So you're right, exactly right what you say about Richarlison being the main man for them. You know, that is a pretty incredible stat, I think, that, you know, they haven't won a match since he's been there, you know, when he's not played, that they can't win without him. And it's just, you know, a pretty amazing stat. And they've had such a good start to the season. And then they've been off the boil.
Is that a worry when there's stats like that? Because obviously I'm a Norwich fan and we've got a similar stat surrounding Emi Buendia. When he doesn't play, often Norwich City don't win. Aidan, if you're an Everton fan and you've got a player so influential to the way you play football and the results coming from it, would you be looking for almost to just try and do something different to make sure that when then players are injured, you can still, you know, grind out results?
I mean, you could look at it a couple of ways, couldn't you? You could look at it on the sort of negative side and say, well, are we a one-man team? And, you know, why are we really struggling without him in the side? Or you could say, well, Richarlison is that good that he raises the level. I'm sure it will even itself out. And I'm not for a second thinking that when Richarlison doesn't play, you know, but a game later in this year, in the season, that Everton will probably win it. I think they've improved. I think, you know, James Rodriguez has made a big difference to them. But I would be a bit worried if I was an Everton fan, because there was quite a bit of hype at the start of the season about them, quite rightly, because they had such a good start to the season. But they've really tailed off. And, you know, it's maybe a familiar tale for Everton that, you know, they seem to make a few good signings. Everyone's sort of upbeat. And then, you know, they fall away. But I do like Richarlison. And I think he knits things together with James Rodriguez as well.
Yeah, in terms of your bet for this one, what are you going for?
Yeah, I do think because of Richarlison being back, it will be an Everton win. I mean, I think Fulham are poor. I think they can easily be got at. One interesting angle of the match might be Luckman, who Fulham have signed, a former Everton player, isn't he? Never really happened for him for Everton. And I'll be interested to see how he bounces back that terrible penalty that he tried, didn't he, Luckman, to try and get Fulham a point at West Ham that he, you know, clipped it into the goalkeeper. That was terrible. So he might have something to prove a little bit. Maybe look at him in terms of the goal scorer markets. But I think Everton to win, they're not going to be particularly value odds.
Yeah, Aaron, I mean, I look at this Fulham side and I've said it before, but I didn't think they were overly impressive in the Championship. And they haven't sort of blown me away in the Premier League either. But I looked at this one and just thought, they've got a chance here. Do you think the same?
They are improving, but I'm afraid I'm singing from the same hymn sheet with Richarlison. He is absolutely massive for Everton. It's more that he knits everyone else together. Calvert-Lewin plays better when Richarlison's there. He finds more space because Richarlison sucks people out wide. And I just think as the front three, I mean, there's less trust in Iwobi and Bernard when Richarlison is not fit. He's played 7 games in all competitions this season. Everton won 6 of those, and the only exception was the 2-2 draw with Liverpool. I just think with him back, it's easy to forget how good they looked at the start of the season when they won at Everton, when they thumped West Brom, when they won at Palace. Then they were really, really good against Brighton. I just think I'm willing to take a chance at 5-6 with Richarlison back, because they would have been much shorter had this been played earlier on in the season.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Richarlison, the main man for Everton this weekend. Let's look at the next game then. 2:00, Sheffield United taking on West Ham United. Sky Sports main event. Jason, another side, like we spoke about West Brom earlier on in the show, Sheffield United still without a win this season, and they are going to need to start picking up wins very soon if they've got any chance of staying in this division.
Yeah, big time. The prices, we have Sheffield United 2-1, the draw 21-10, and West Ham 11-8. And you know, the biggest strength Sheffield United had last season was defensively Henderson in the goal, and then you could rely on Egan and O'Connell in the back, Enda Stevens, you know, the wing-backs. They're really solid, settled defensively. Players knew each other. It's that familiarity with who you're playing with and knowing whether you need to, you know, shift to the right 5 yards or shift to the left 5 yards, and they'll move with you. They haven't got that this season, and it's shown that they're just not good enough defensively or as good as what they were. And then offensively, it's the same story. They're just not scoring enough. So there is concerns for Sheffield United, absolutely. But as a standalone game at these prices, I'd actually be siding with Sheffield United. I think there's a bit of value actually in Sheffield United at 2-1. One reason being Antonio is out for West Ham. We talked about Richarlison. Antonio is a massive loss for West Ham. Haller is a good replacement, but Antonio has been on fire since the end of lockdown, really, when he started scoring an unbelievable run of goals. And what I do like as well is, if you look at this match last season, Sheffield United actually went odds on back in January. Now, there's been a lot of changes there, as in there'll be no fans for this game. And obviously, West Ham have improved significantly under Moyes this season. And like you say, Sheffield United have lost Henderson. O'Connell's out for the season. But what I'd be saying is, Egan and Stevens, they're 50-50 to make this game. If the price is still around 2-1 and they're named in the starting lineup, then that'd be one of the best bets, I think, for this weekend. It mightn't click, but at 2-1, it's definitely a bit of value. West Ham are too short. I won't be touching West Ham at 11-8.
Yeah, Aidan, when I was, you know, looking through this weekend's games, this was the one that I really struggled to sort of pick apart. Which way are you going with this?
Yeah, I must admit, it doesn't look on paper to be, you know, the most exciting game of the weekend by any stretch, doesn't it? Sheffield United are in desperate need, aren't they? And, you know, did so well last year. I do think that there's got to be an improvement from Sheffield United because of the fact they were very good last year. It's second season syndrome maybe for them, but, you know, it's similar squad, very, very similar squad. And I do think that they will pick up sooner or later. West Ham have been a little bit inconsistent, but actually been quite good. Antonio is massive for them. unlikely he'll play this weekend, as Jason said, though. So that would put me off back in West Ham. I can see a draw, you know, not wanting to sort of sit on the fence, even though I am, by saying it's a draw. Sheffield United don't want to get beat. West Ham will probably take a draw at Sheffield United. That would be my selection in this one.
Aaron, where are you going here?
I am going to go with under 2.5 goals here, Jack. Mm. I know the Blades are bottom. They've only got 1 point from 8 games, but they've had a horrid run of fixtures. They've played Arsenal, they've played Chelsea, they've played City, they've played Liverpool, and they've played Wolves. I mean, it's they've had a really, really tough start to the season. Chris Wilder come out and said, judge them on their next 10 games. They ain't going to be relegated based on their results so far. And you'd probably have to agree with that. How many of those games would they be expected to win? I mean, they've scored just 4 goals this season. That's the problem. They're not scoring nowhere near enough. They've scored 1 in 4 outings at home. And that goal was in the 1-1 draw with Fulham. And even then, it was a Billy Sharp penalty. So with the lack of attacking intent, I think they've just got to keep it tight for as long as possible. Antonio, if he misses for West Ham, that is a big blow for them. And this is going to be a physical test. This is the sort of game that Sheffield United relished last season. So, and the international break would have been welcomed by Chris Wilder. Only 5 of their last 23 Premier League home games have featured 3 or more goals. So I'd go under 2.5, 8 to 11.
Yeah, it's this time of the season, isn't it, where, you know, the games are coming thick and fast and the table really starts to take shape. 4:30 on Sunday, Leeds United against Arsenal. Jason, the prices for this and your bet.
Yeah, so we've Leeds 21-10, the draw 13-5, and Arsenal currently 11-10. And this is a really fascinating one. I just can't wait to see how both managers approach this and how, you know, the clash of styles, how it plays out. The Leeds press, Arsenal trying to play out from the back, how's that going to work out? What I will say, and we probably should have said it earlier, obviously with COVID at the moment, it's very hard to account for team news, and what we say now, you know, could be different come kickoff if something develops or breaks between now and then. For this game, Leeds are missing Rodrigo through COVID, and Elneny is also ruled out for Arsenal. Then there's injury doubts as well. Phillips is 50-50 to make this game. Thomas Partey is about 75%. He's a slight thigh injury. So team news will be crucial in whether I decide to have a match, win, draw, win bet on this. I won't be back in early doors on it. Wait till you see the lineups. In terms of gauging these teams, there was a cracking game in the FA Cup last season where Leeds went to Arsenal. And in the first half, Leeds absolutely dominated, 11-2. And then Arteta changed it up at half time. And in the second half, Arsenal dominated 10-3. Now, the starting 11s from that game will be very different from this game, but the managers will be the same. And like I say, it's just going to be a fascinating game to watch in terms of clash of styles. It's really looking forward to watching it. I wouldn't have a win, draw, win bet at the moment, but if I'm sitting down to watch it for the 90 minutes, once the corners and booking markets are out, once I know the lineups, I'd probably have a look at maybe a same game multi just to have a bit of interest, to have a bit more fun to watching it. But it's going to be a fascinating game.
Yeah, really exciting. There's some brilliant action this weekend, isn't there? Thoroughly looking forward to this one. Aidan, Leeds, I think their fans will be relatively pleased with their start to the season. Will it get better here?
I don't think so. I think it'll be an Arsenal win. I think Leeds fans are quite happy generally, the ones I speak to, with how it's gone. And Marcelo Bielsa is, you know, completely held up as a god. I'm on the side of it, though, that there's too much hype in Bielsa, because he's a coach that seems to take a team to a bit of success and does well, but then he doesn't change his style of play. All the best coaches, yeah, they have an identity, and you got to admire the way they play football. It's all an attacking approach, and it's man marking, and it's pressing, and it's hard working, brilliant. And that'll get you so far. You've got to adapt your game against certain opponents, like Arsenal, like Leeds didn't against Leicester and got absolutely hammered 4-1 at home. Yes, they won well at Aston Villa, and they played well against Man City, and they will win games, and there'll be an improvement. I expect them to stay up, but I just don't necessarily buy into all this Bielsa hype. I think he needs to be a better coach. He needs to adapt himself, and he's done this throughout his career. He's done well to a point, but then he seems unwilling to change. And I think against Arsenal this weekend, against someone like Arteta, what you might find is that Leeds start really well, like they did in the Cup last year. They might get a goal, they'll tire, and Arsenal will come back into it, and I think it'll be an away win.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I couldn't get my head around the hype around Leeds. Certainly going into the season, where there were talks of, will they finish in the, you know, in the European spots? You know, I've watched a lot of Leeds over the past.
I feel, Jack, maybe I'm being a little bit like overcritical, because I do like Bielsa and I like a lot of what he stands for. But I just think that he needs to be a little bit, he needs to have learnt from, you know, his previous jobs as well, where, you know, he's done really well up to a point and then, you know, things have gone against him, and he doesn't seem to. He has this way of playing, and that is it. And there's no other way. And it'll get him certain results, But I'd be a little bit concerned that, you know, maybe against good teams like Arsenal are, that they need to adapt.
No, I'd agree with you on the whole there. Aaron, this is, as we've said, a really fascinating clash. Arsenal, four wins and four defeats this season. That gets them to 11th in the division, actually level on points with Manchester City. Leeds down in 15th, 2 points behind Arsenal. How do you see this one going?
It's a very difficult game to get your head around, Jack. But I think I'd take a chance on Leeds at 21-10. I mean, consecutive 4-1 defeats against Leicester and Palace have caused the alarm bells to ring a little bit. But the way they set up those games, I think it suits opponents like Leicester and Palace, who sit deep, don't want too much possession, are going to hit you on the counter. Arsenal aren't going to sit deep. They're going to try and play football as they do. And Leeds is pressed. Their energy. Arsenal are going to be in for a shock. They've looked laboured in recent games, and they've scored only once in four league games, and that was the penalty that gave them victory at Old Trafford. I think Leeds have performed much better than those defeats. The margin. We're against three City to a 1-1 draw. So I think this is a game that will suit them. Elneny is a confirmed absentee, which is a big blow to the midfield, and that adds extra importance on Thomas Partey. If Thomas Partey's not fit, then Leeds could just run all over him in midfield, and I think they look a bit too big at 21-10, especially with Aubameyang not in the same vein.
Some contrasting opinions there. Really excited for that one. Let us know what your opinions are on that one. Tweet us at Racing Post Sport. The late game on the Sunday, 7:15, sees Liverpool taking on Leicester. Another really tantalising clash, this one. Jason, we've heard all about Liverpool's injury worries, etc. But do they have enough depth to try and get past this Leicester side who are top of the table at the moment?
Yeah, it's really going to be tested. The price is this. Liverpool opened, right, 2 weeks ago. Liverpool were 8-15 for this game. They're now 10-11, and that'll just tell you know, what has happened over the last 2 weeks in terms of what's available for Klopp to pick for this game. The draw is 11-4, and Leicester have shortened from 9-2 into 13-5 at the moment. For me, it's all about waiting to see what Liverpool 11 lines up. There's doubts over Thiago and Henderson, but if they're in it and I'm still getting 10-11, I'd be back in Liverpool. Obviously, you want to see their centre-back pairing as well. Reece Williams had to pull out of England under 21 duty during the week. It was probably looking like Williams and Matip to line up, but, you know, we're doubts on Williams now. Never mind Gomez, Fabinho and Van Dijk already being ruled out. So I'd be waiting for team news, but I am really tempted at the 10-11. Leicester top of the table and deserve to be, but they've actually got 8 penalties already this season, scoring 7 of them. Some of those penalties haven't mattered. They've come late in games. But against Man City, the penalties they got were really, really important. The penalty against Wolves last time out as well to get them a 1-0 win. So I think they're probably riding, similar to last season, Leicester are probably performing as good as they can for a points total so far this season. And, you know, they're probably going to see a bit of regression. And I think that start is kind of reflected in the prices. And, yeah, just 10-11 on Liverpool. If it's a good 11 that they can get on the pitch, that'd be the bet I'd have for this. And yeah, Jota in the goal scorer market is an obvious one as well. 6 goals in his last 5 games. He'll be about 5-1 first goal scorer. Well worth a look.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant so far this season, hasn't he? Aidan, what did you make of Liverpool's performance against Manchester City? Because going into that game, I was all over Liverpool at the prices that were on show at the time. They couldn't quite get the job done that day. But even then, I mean, they had injury concerns in that game. They will do again in this clash against Leicester. It does feel as if, despite the injuries, Jurgen Klopp will find a way to get his Liverpool side ticking.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, really. Liverpool were very, very good against City for half an hour. Faded a bit, probably settled for a point in the second half. City came back strongly, but, you know, a draw in that match was probably about the fair result. I think you're right in what you're saying, that, you know, Klopp's record for Liverpool, since he's been there, has been so good. And at home, Liverpool, you know, everyone keeps going back to this stat that Liverpool haven't lost a league game since April 2017. Now, Leicester last year nearly got a point, but Liverpool actually dominated that match, despite the fact Liverpool got a late win with a Milner penalty. And it was a bit of a dubious penalty. Jason's right in that, you know, maybe before you're putting any bets on this match, wait and see who's fit and who's not. The latest information I've read is that Henderson probably will be out for Liverpool. Now, I think he was touch and go. Now, that could change again, you know, in the build-up to the match, we know. But if Liverpool are missing Henderson, they are usually a lot worse without Henderson in the team in terms of their level of performance. We know all about Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold out, Gomez out. There was a bit of a doubt over Robertson as well, but I think he'll play because he played for Scotland. Leicester have a few injury problems themselves. You know, Wesley Fofana has been big for them since he's come in, but he's a little bit of a doubt with a knee injury. Soyuncu's out, and Amate is also out. So it's not exactly going to be Leicester's first choice as well. I do like the 10 to 11. Liverpool, because of their record and everything, and the fact that they seem to find a way to win, and they're doing that this season as well already against like Sheffield United and West Ham. Didn't play very well, Liverpool won the match. I may be tempted by the draw again, and I know we don't get that many draws, but you know, just all things considered, Leicester would happily settle for a draw, and maybe Liverpool would as well with their injury problems that they've got.
Yes, it's a tough one to call, isn't it? Aaron, I look back to last season when Leicester were going through sort of a hot streak, and your colleague Mark Langdon was very wary in terms of backing Leicester because at the time they maybe weren't performing in terms of XG. This season, as Jason mentioned, 8 penalties already in the 8 games played. How do you rate Leicester so far?
I would agree that against lesser teams, I wouldn't be happy to take a short price against Leicester at home to someone like Brighton. But in this sort of game here, this is a game that really suits Leicester. The Foxes are at their best when they can soak up the pressure and hit teams on the break, playing balls in behind and let Jamie Vardy run onto them. And we know Liverpool play a high defensive line as it is, which has been punished so many times this season. They've conceded 16 goals in 8 games and they only have 1 clean sheet in 8 league games. And then you throw in the defensive injuries, Van Dijk out, Gomez out, Fabinho, who would probably fill in at centre-back where he fit, is out, Trent's out. And I mean, the only thing I'd be really confident about in this game is Jamie Vardy probably getting on the score sheet. He's 13-10 to score any time, and I think that represents great value. He's racked up 9 goals in 8 games this season. He's scored in each of his last 4. He's fired home a hat-trick at the Etihad, and he is on penalty duty. And those balls in behind, he's going to cause so many problems for that makeshift defence.
Yeah, no, Jamie Vardy's been brilliant this season. So that's Saturday and Sunday's action all previewed. Monday and the naps still to come. Stay with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast for Part 3. Oh, it's been a delightful show so far. Some really good games this weekend. And again, there's 2 fixtures to look forward to on Monday. And the first of them sees Burnley taking on Crystal Palace. Jason, we've already spoken about West Brom and Sheffield United so far in this show. The team out of 3 to win a game this season are Burnley. Can they get off the mark here?
Yeah, I think they can. The prices for this game is virtually picking. We've Burnley slight fabs at 17-10, the draw 2-1, and Palace 7-4. There is still an element of home advantage, you know, being familiar with your stadium, your surroundings, getting to sleep in your own bed the night before. But obviously, no crowd being there takes a big part of it. So essentially, what the prices are telling us here is Palace are rated probably slightly better than Burnley if they're nearly picking going off at Turf Moor without a home crowd. Now, Palace did win this game last season away from home, and a 2-0 win, it's, you know, Turf Moor is their happy place, if anyone gets that reference. what I'm saying for this game is it's very hard to pick a bet. And like you said, Burnley haven't had a win this season, but 2 points on the table. I think they probably deserved results, similar to Brighton, probably deserved better results. I think this game in particular, they had a chance from a corner with 15 minutes left, and then a couple of minutes later, Son ends up scoring from a corner and Spurs win that game 1-0. So Burnley have just been a bit unlucky not to get the points on the board that they've deserved. I haven't got a strong tip for this game. It's 5:30 on Monday. It's 5:30 on Monday for a reason. You can read into that yourselves. I honestly haven't got a strong tip for this one in particular.
Okay, so you haven't got a strong tip for that, but you've clearly been watching I'm a Celebrity. What's your strong angle for the outright market in I'm a Celebrity?
I was watching it last week and loads of bookmakers had it up, and I seen Shane Ritchie at 5-1 in places, and I said 100% Shane Ritchie, and he's gone into fab now. Doesn't mean he'll win it, but I'm on the value, so I'm happy enough with that.
Shane Ritchie, brilliant. Aidan, I was on Leeds when they played Crystal Palace just before the international break, and Palace absolutely run riot in that game, and I was surprised, but you look at the table, Palace are up there on 8th. Is this another good opportunity for them to get a win on the board here?
I'm just glad you weren't going to ask me more about I'm a Celebrity. Palace for me, they're not very expansive away from home, are they? And Roy Hodgson generally is quite a conservative coach. But the win against Leeds was a little bit of a surprise because I think they did take the game to Leeds and not many people thought that they would do that. I'm a little bit like Jason in that this game to me doesn't look like one where you should be touching really if you want to have a bet, because it doesn't strike you as being particularly entertaining. Probably not going to be too many goals. Maybe look at the under 2.5 goals market. 7-4, I think, was what I saw on Palace to win away, which does seem decent value when you consider that Burnley have had a really, really poor start to the season. They can't score goals, Burnley. 3 goals in 7 matches. So, you know, that's absolutely dismal from the Claret's point of view. And it's not going to please your man on Mr. Leb, is it, Jordan North? So I would be avoiding this match, but I suppose if you were forcing me, I'd go 7-4 Palace away win.
Yeah, Jordan North, my bet for I'm a Celebrity as well. Aaron, it seems as if there's been a pattern on these postcards. The Monday early kickoff always seems underwhelming. Is this going to be an exciting one?
Yeah, Jack, I'm not sure Turf Moor is going to be a happy place. Low scoring games obviously make the draw a far more likely outcome. And Burnley have failed to score in 3 home games this season. They've had the fewest shots on target in the division. And actually, yeah, like Aidan says, they've scored 3 goals in 7 games. And 2 of those came in the same game at Leicester. You know what you're going to get from Sean Dyche's side. They're going to be plucky. They're going to fight for every ball. But you do worry about them in attacking areas. The Clarets played out goalless draws with West Ham and Brighton, however, and they did lose 1-0 at home to Tottenham. So their defensive discipline does see them stay competitive. So with goals at a premium, I can see the draw. And I'd probably go 5-2 and under 2.5 goals. I'd go the draw and under 2.5 goals at 5-2, I think, Jack.
Yeah, no, that sounds a good angle. You can tell we're all in lockdown, can't you? The fact we're getting so excited over I'm a Celebrity. And we'll see how much Jason loves I'm a Celebrity with this one. 8 p.m, Wolves versus Southampton. It will clash with I'm a Celebrity on Monday night. Jason, what's your angle for this one?
Yeah, so with Wolves 13-10, the draw 11-5, and Southampton 11-5. Again, slightly team news dependent here, as in the Donker and Cody, who have been regular, you know, first choice 11s, the Donker particularly this season. They're both 50-50 for this game. So I want to see if they're named in the starting lineup. And if they are, based on my ratings and based on prices we've seen for both teams this season to date, you know, that 13-10 on Wolves, according to the head and the stats, is a bet. Danny Ings obviously out for Southampton and is massive. Again, we've talked about Richarlison. If you look at him, he came off injured against Aston Villa on the Sunday, and it's like the markets kind of weren't sure how bad the injury was until Monday morning, but then we seen the price move against Newcastle for the following week on the Monday, and it moved a little over a quarter of a goal, and that's significant. That's as important as a player really can be for a team. So Ings still missing for Southampton for this game. Maybe the markets haven't accounted for it enough. The problem with Wolves is, will they score enough goals? You know, the game against Newcastle, they should have won. How did it and win it? Again, they're just not scoring enough, not putting themselves clear, and then they get a sucker punch to concede and not win the game. So you're reluctant back on Wolves to win any match, really. But for this, at that price, the head, the ratings, the stats say that Wolves at 13-10 is the best bet for this game. And I'll definitely watch the first half. And if it's a good game, we'll watch the second half.
Jason, you talk about your ratings, and I imagine this delightful kind of spreadsheet full of, you know, stats and analysis. What's the key data that you're compiling to kind of pull your own opinions here?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, you could do a whole new podcast, another hour on this. But what I'll do is, you know, I'll review all Premier League games, all the Liga games on a Monday if I haven't been working that weekend or haven't been eyeballing them over the weekend. And what you look is, you look at starting lineup. So, like I say, if Danny Ings starts for Southampton and you look at the closing price that Southampton went off at the weekend, you'd compare that to your ratings. And if that closing price is bigger or shorter than your ratings, you ask yourself the question, do I adjust? How has my ratings been on the closing price for Southampton the last few weeks? But it's important to know the closing price you're referencing, whether Danny Ings is in it or not. If he's not in that, the closing price for Southampton goes off much bigger. And if you didn't look at team news, you'd blindly adjust your ratings thinking, oh, the market really doesn't rate Southampton. No, they just don't rate Southampton as well when Danny Ings is out. It's an obvious thing. But you refine that for all 10 games. You look back over the last 5-6 matches. But sometimes you don't always follow the market. The market itself can get carried away with narratives as well. Like I referenced earlier, the opening price on United away to Everton, you know, 6-4, given who Everton were missing as well going into that game. We knew Richarlison was going to miss through suspension, and the market eventually corrected itself. So you can get early value. The market can blow hot or cold on teams if they're winning really well, winning 5-6 games in a row. The market goes too short. And if a team is having a poor run of results, the market can tend to go too big on them. Like I said, there's a lot more on each of them. That's just touching on them. You could talk on each of those topics for another half hour at least. But it's that's the work that goes into it. And that's the work we try to present and tell you if something's a value bet or if something's an entertaining bet if you're going to watch the game.
Yeah, definitely. Especially during Safer Gambling Week, it's well worth, if you are having a bet this weekend, you know, put some work in, or if not, listen to our tips. As I can assure you that the amount of work that goes into these tips, that there's a lot of research behind it. So they're all coming from a very good place. Aidan, in terms of this game, Wolves against Southampton, a really exciting one actually. Two sides who have started the season relatively well. Where will your money be going here?
Doing Southampton a little bit of a disservice there, because they went top of the table, you know, in the last game when they beat Newcastle before then the other weekend's game, because it was the Friday night game. And actually, Southampton have been really, really good, haven't they? And yeah, you know, Wolves, I think, have underperformed. And I think what Jason said is right, in that there's been quite a few games where they've been the better side, but they haven't quite got the goals to win them the match. And then they've been found out with a few late equalisers. I look at a lot of the games this weekend, and I think quite a few of them are really difficult to call, and I think this is another one. But if I'm going to go for a bet, I would go Wolves to win it just because they're at home. I think Southampton, you know, without Ings, you know, echoing really what Jason's saying, but it's really obvious, isn't it, that without Ings, then they're not as big a threat. Although I would say that Che Adams has stepped up for Saints this season, and he was brought in just over a year ago from Birmingham after scoring a lot of goals for Blues in the Championship. And it didn't work out for him at all last year. He didn't get hardly in it. I think he might not have even scored last season, but this year he's been much better. So he's a threat for Southampton on the break. I would look at Wolves. I'd also look maybe at both teams to score and a home win in this one. And I do think it's going to be worth sending the missus in to watch I'm a Celeb in the other room, I think. And I'll get this on.
Definitely. Aaron, you can have the final say on the final Premier League game we'll be previewing this week.
I think I've got a bit of a different view to Aidan. I'm thinking under 2.5 goals looks fairly solid at 4-6. I think this will be quite low scoring. Under 2.5 goals has landed in 15 of Wolves' last 18 Premier League games, and it's triggered in each of their last five. I know Southampton are unbeaten in six, but they got away with Danny Ings' absence against Newcastle, but I'm not sure I'd have the same confidence in them doing it against Wolves, who have clean sheets in three of the last five games, and they do keep things tight. They've been just 17 goals scored in Wolves' 8 games. Defensively, they're very disciplined, but I think they're it's too easy to go there and get a result. Newcastle went there and got a point. Fulham kept it tight for a long periods, and it was goalless at half-time. So 13-8, about a goalless draw at half-time, is also another solid. For me, yeah, I just think 2.5 goals. I can't see too many goals, and I'll probably have to switch Arms Lev on for this one.
Good stuff. Yeah, an absolutely brilliant fixture list in the Premier League this weekend. I'm not sure if I'm so excited because we've gone a couple of weeks without it, but really looking forward to that. Thanks to all of you for your insight there. Jason, we'll have a quick look at any other divisions, of course, EFL action. I know you're a keen follower of La Liga. Any other fancies on your list this week?
I'll give you the La Liga one in the nap, but just to touch on, like, again, it's Safer Gambling Week. You know, only back if you have an opinion, you think the price is worth backing, or if you're going to watch the game, don't be backing anything blindly. Just back for entertainment, a bit of fun. What we do is we have great power prices, really enhanced specials every weekend. We had a massive one click at 10-1 Tuesday night, Portugal, France and Spain to win, which it nearly cost us seven figures. It was a massive payout, but it was a great one for punters to get. Other entertaining novelty bets that we have this weekend, we spoke about Spurs and Man City, a massive game, and it's so massive we didn't even touch on the history of Mourinho and Pep, but we'll have the markets up for either manager to get booked, Mourinho to be booked 10-1, Pep to be booked 12-1, or to get sent to the stands 25-1 Mourinho or 33-1 Pep. And also in terms of the EFL, we have gone out with Derby next manager market. No surprise, Cuckoo was, you know, got the chop, bottom of the table. So at the moment we're 14-8, and we're seeing bets and money coming for him. Rooney second in the market at 13-5. We're seeing bets there as well. John Terry 11-2. Allardyce 6-1. We're seeing bets as well, but I don't know if the style of the play. Can you go from Cocu to Allardyce? I suppose anything might be an improvement on what they've done so far this season. Bit of money for Cooper as well from Swansea at 7-1. Reddy Howe, I don't know if he's interested in getting back into management. Yeah, he'd be next in the market there. So plenty of novelty bets out there, plenty of entertaining bets, but only having a bet if it's fun. If it's not, don't have a bet.
Here, yeah, 100%. Touching on that that Derby job, I mean, Cocky was playing some terrible, terrible football at Derby. So I'm not overly sure if Allardyce's style of play will be too different at all. Aidan, any other fancies?
Do you know what I was just going to mention, and I'm sure it's something that's been mentioned on the podcast before, penalties. You know, look at the special markets, back penalties, because of VAR, you know, the amount of penalties we're getting this season. And in some games, you can get like 6-4. I've had 7-4 on some games and penalties have come in, you know, and I think that's real value when we consider the amount of dodgy handballs that are given for penalties and the fact that referees nowadays, you know, I'm sure we all know as football fans, you're watching a match, sometimes it's not a foul, but the referee will point to the spot and he'll think, well, it's going to get checked. So if it's not a pen, then that's my get out. So there's definitely scope to be backing penalties.
Definitely. Aaron, just a quick one before we get into your other fancies. You know, we've mentioned penalties, corners, bookings, everything in this podcast. There are so many markets to choose from now. In terms of when you're going into a weekend, how do you make sure you're not overwhelmed by the amount of, you know, choice that's at your, you know, at your will?
I just trying to stick to the areas I know best, Jack, to be honest. I mean, if I'm watching with the Premier League, the podcast helps. So I go through all the matches and you just got to be picky. You got to be selective. You can't have a bet in every single match. You've just got to be selective. And that's the best way, really. If you've got a strong view, then play it wisely and play it accordingly. But just don't get involved in everything because there's too much action going on.
Definitely. And I know you're a keen follower of the EFL. So any EFL punters listening now, Aaron, any selections here?
I'll save my nap. I won't give that one away too yet. I like Ipswich at a shade of odds on at home to Shrewsbury. They're a perfect 6-6 at home, Ipswich, this season. They actually haven't conceded a goal yet. So I fancy them at home to Shrewsbury. I like Cheltenham at home to Walsall. They've showed no ill effects from last season's crumbling in the League Two playoffs. And Walsall actually lost at home to Southend last weekend, suffered a shock defeat. So I can see Cheltenham utilising home advantage there. And I give Bolton a bit of a chance at 7-4. Things have started slowly for them. They haven't clicked yet, but they won 2-0 at home to Salford. Their injuries are clearing. They've got a lot more depth at front now. Shaw Miller's back. Lloyd Isgrove's back. Owen Doyle's back fit. And Stevenage, they only avoided relegation last season because Macclesfield's demise. They're winless in 10 and they've scored just 3 times in that slump. So Bolton at 7-4 looks a bit too big.
Yeah, that looks good. They were certainly good in that Friday night game against Salford, as you mentioned. Right, the boys have already started to tease their nap, so let's get straight into it now.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, here we go then. The NAP treble for this week, as always, enhanced by our sponsors, Paddy Power, on their website. Head over there and you should be able to find it easy enough in the football section. Jason, we'll start with you. What's your NAP?
Yeah, so we're going to go for Real Sociedad win away against Cadiz. Real Sociedad, top of La Liga, albeit they have played a couple of games more than Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona. It's been a bit of a staggered start to the La Liga season. But even given that, they're top with very good reason. David Silva's obviously moved from Man City, but they've already got the really good bones of a team there from last season. Mikel Merino in midfield, possibly going to start for the Spanish team at the Euros. Oyarzabal up top, fantastic. They can rotate their strikers. They've Isak, the Swedish striker, they've William Jose, guarantees goals. They're just a really fantastic team and rightly deserve to be top of the table. Have a look at them in the Spanish Copa del Rey, actually. There's 25-1 out there on them. Again, that's not a bad anti-post bet for a bit of entertainment. But for this game, they're definitely a bet at 5-6. Actually, you could have got them even money 2 weeks ago, but it has shortened in. And so Sociedad are flying it. And the reason why they're a bet as well is Cadiz had an eye-catching result against Real Madrid. They're newly promoted to La Liga this season, where they won 1-0, which was a fantastic result. But I think the markets are still giving them too much credit for that. And in particular, their last game out, they got well bet 4-0 away to Atletico Madrid. And for that game, they were missing their captain as well, who was really, really crucial for them, Jose Marie. And he's missing for this game against Sociedad also. So for me, 5-6 Sociedad away to Cadiz. It's one that I like with the head and one that I like with the gut as well.
Oh, that's always a good combination. Sociedad in the treble. Aidan, what's your nap?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Premier League and fairly obvious one, but Everton to win at Fulham 5-6 is the latest odds that I've just seen on that. So, you know, I think that's really, really good value considering what we've mentioned about Everton. I know they've lost their last three, but they're away at Fulham, who have been fairly dire so far. They look like relegation material. And with Richarlison back in the team, as we've talked about, Everton don't seem to win when he's not playing, and when he is back, that they seem to be able to get the result. So I'd go Everton away win 5-6.
And Aaron, completely treble.
I'm going to go Charlton away at Gillingham at 11-10. I mean, this is seen as a bit of a local rivalry, so this one kicks off at 1 o'clock, so don't forget to miss that. Charlton have racked up six straight League One successes, and while they're going to play a part in the promotion picture, Gillingham, they're set for a season of struggle. They've tailed off after a fast start and they've lost five of their last six league fixtures without scoring. Charlton boasts League One's best defence with only seven goals conceded, and they've kept clean sheets in six of the last seven, which includes shutouts against Sunderland and Portsmouth. They're playing with real confidence at the minute, and I fancy them to go to Gillingham and get maximum points.
Sociedad, Everton and Charlton, the treble this week. As I say, you can find that on the Paddy Power website and be sure to have a look at that. Also, remember, it is safer gambling week. So if you are concerned about your betting habits or just fancy a bit more education on it, head over to safergamblinguk.org for more information. If you are having a bet this weekend, remember to do so responsibly. A massive thank you to Aaron, Aidan and Jason this week for some fabulous insight into what is a really exciting Premier League fixture list, and also some cracking games in the EFL and the broad. We'll be back next week for another episode. Until then, stay safe and happy punting. See you later. Bye-bye.